first met Robert Jennings at a small party given by a mutual friend of ours.
Dr. Hesselius, here's a gentleman who'd like to meet you.
I'm honored. The honor is mine, Dr. Hesselius. Thank you, Mary.
Well, you two chat together for a while. I'll get back to my other guests.
I'm very interested in some writing of yours, Dr. Hesselius.
Especially in the term metaphysical medicine. I read them a few years ago.
And I hope they didn't bore you.
Quite the contrary. Just a few days ago, I thought of the subject again, and I searched everywhere for my copy of the book, but I couldn't find it. I understand that it's out of print.
Yes, quite true, Mr. Jennings.
I'm interested in the cause of a certain phenomenon that I have witnessed. I thought perhaps your book might help me.
If you still care to possess a copy, I should be glad to provide you with one. As any author, I still have two or three around.
Thank heaven you're able to help me. I'd almost given up hope.
Hope of what, Mr. Jennings?
Perhaps in a while I may be able to tell you, but not until then. Dr. Hesselius, it's a tale so strange and unusual that you'll say it's fantastic, but believe me, it's the truth.
Everyone left except Mr. Jennings, our hostess Mary Crandall, and myself. I don't know what it was that made me stay later than I had intended. Perhaps it was the way that Mr. Jennings acted. At any rate, I have gone into the library to see if perhaps Mary might have a copy of my book. I heard a strange sound that I couldn't place. I turned around and caught a glimpse of two burning red lights that stood about 2 feet off the ground. They moved with a strange hopping movement and then suddenly disappeared out in the hallway. Mary, is that you?
Stay away from me.
Don't run from me, Mary.
Don't come any closer to me.
Your throat is so lovely.
Take your hands away from my throat.
No, Mary. I'm going to kill you, Mr. Jennings. Take your hands away from her throat, Mr. Jennings. Mary, I don't know what came over me.
You're right, Mary.
Yes, Dr. Celia.
You trying to do, Mr. Jennings? Why were you trying to kill her?
Kill her, Doctor. I was trying to destroy him.
What, Mr. Jennings?
You wouldn't believe me, Doctor. No, you would never believe me.
Mary and I watched him as he left the house. He slipped his card into my hand just before leaving me, and mechanically I put it into my pocket. I was convinced that Robert Jennings was suffering from some strange malady. Your Mr. Jennings is a dangerous man, Mary.
Well, actually, he's a very good man.
He tried to kill you this evening. You call that being good?
No. The look on his face, it wasn't him. It seemed to be someone else.
Mr. Jennings is not married, is he?
No.
He's been writing, that is, he was. But for 2 or 3 years, perhaps he has not gone on with his work. The book was upon some rather unusual subject, perhaps supernatural phenomena. Is that correct?
Yes, he was writing a book. I don't know what the subject matter was, but suddenly he stopped writing.
So one more fact now. His mother and his father, did you know them?
Yes, both. His father died about 10 years ago. Our family knew them quite well.
And either his mother or his father, I should think his father saw, how should I say it, a poltergeist, an apparition, a ghost. Isn't that correct?
Yes. How did you know?
Something he said concerning metaphysical medicine.
It was his father. He was a strange man who used to bore my father about his dreams. One day he told my father a story about a ghost he'd seen and talked with. I remember it particularly because I was so afraid of him. I told the story a short time before he died. He was still quite young then. The words he used have always remained with me.
Words he used to describe the apparition?
Yes. He called it the beast with red eyes.
The following day, I went to call on Mr. Jennings, carrying with me the little book he had asked for.
Yes? What can I do for you?
I should like to see Mr. Jennings.
I'm sorry, sir. He's engaged with another gentleman just now.
I see. Will you tell him that Dr. Aserius called?
Oh, just a moment, sir. Mr. Jennings left word that if you called, you should be shown in. He wants very much to see you. If you'll just come with me.
Thank you.
If you'll just wait here in his study, sir, I'll let him know you're here.
I noticed an open book on his desk. I couldn't help but go over to look at it. My eye fell upon a sentence underlined in red. There are with every man at least two evil spirits. Sound again. I looked up, and over in the corner of the shadows, I saw those two dancing dots of luminescence. Then suddenly something ran close to the floor out of the room, and in the hallway...
We'll return to the tale of the Beast with Red Eyes in just a moment.
Jennings' house. The servant had shown me into the study. For a moment, I'd imagined I'd seen something over in the corner of the room. And then it had run along the floor and out into the hallway. It was then that Jennings screamed. Mr. Jennings, what is the matter?
What happened, sir?
I saw it. I saw it again.
What did you see, Mr. Jennings?
You may go now, Stanley.
Yes, sir.
Come, Dr. Hesselius. We'll go back to the study.
I ask you what it was you saw, Mr. Jennings.
Don't worry, Dr. Hesselius. I'll tell you before very long.
I brought my book. It's there on your desk.
Thank you, Doctor. By any chance, did you read part of the book I left open on the desk?
I happened to glance at it, yes.
I see. And what did you think?
I had no time to think, my dear sir. I thought I saw something in here.
Saw something? What?
I'm not really not too sure. I looked over at the corner of the room over there, and I saw two luminescent red spots. So the dark in here, you know, and I saw, or imagined I saw, some little animal scurrying along the floor out to the hallway. And then you scream.
And you have had your first glimpse of it.
What, Mr. Jennings?
The beast with red eyes.
A beast with dead eyes?
Yes. Born of the devil.
Are you the only one who's seen this apparition, Mr. Jennings?
No. No, my father saw it, too.
How did your father die?
I don't know, Doctor. I was downstairs when it happened. I heard him scream, and when I got upstairs, he was dead.
I see.
And his eyes. I shall never forget his eyes that night. They were like the eyes of the animal I see. Like a burning red fire.
Tell me about it, Mr. Jennings. Tell me everything.
Well, it's a rather long narrative, Doctor. Please be seated.
Thank you.
About 4 years ago, I began a book for which I had done research for many years. It was upon the supernatural phenomena inculcated into the beliefs of the ancients.
Yes, a wide and very interesting field.
Yes, yes, but not good for the mind. I wrote a great deal, seeming always to write better late at night. I was always thinking about the subject. I used to sit up very late, and it became a habit with me to sip my tea, green tea, every now and then as the work progressed. One day I met a man who had some rare old books, German editions in medieval Latin. I asked him if I might be allowed to read them.
I certainly had changed. You could have the full use of Latin. But be careful of them, for there is the touch of death.
One night I had stayed at his house very late. And when I went out into the street, I found that I could find no cab. So I took the omnibus which used to drive past this house. Save for the driver, I was the only passenger. It was quite late and quite dark. I leaned back in my seat thinking about what I had read. The interior of the omnibus was very shadowy. At the end next to the horses, I seemed to see two small circular reflections of a reddish light. They were about 2 inches apart. I didn't know what they were. In another minute, it became rather frightening. For those two luminous points, with a sudden jerk, descended near the floor. And then they rose to the level of the seat on which I was sitting. And suddenly, they disappeared. My curiosity was aroused, and I moved forward, keeping my eyes upon those two red lights which had now reappeared. The coachman, seeing that I was acting strangely, asked me,
"Anything wrong, sir?"
No, nothing at all. Now to perceive something black. And I soon saw the outline of a small monkey, pushing its face forward in mimicry to meet mine. The red lights were its eyes, and I saw its teeth grinning at me. I poked my cane at it. I swear that I'm telling you the truth. My cane went up to it and threw it. As I looked, it made a little skip back into a corner. I was afraid. Terribly afraid.
Are you sure there ain't nothing wrong, sir?
Driver, I want to get off here.
But this ain't where you...
I don't care. I want to get off now.
All right, sir. Over there! What be the matter, sir?
Nothing. Just leave me alone. I got out and the driver stared at me for a moment and then...
You look like you've seen a ghost, sir.
Walking towards my house. It was only 300 or 400 feet away. There's an old brick wall that runs just beside the path I took. I noticed nothing for the first few seconds. But then, I heard a sound that was strange to the night. I looked at the top of the stone wall, but seeing nothing, I continued on my way. It was then I heard it talking to me. Turning around, I saw the creature on top of the wall. No sound now. I started walking again. And it sprang down and scampered along beside me. I could feel it when it touched my leg. I was terribly frightened. I began to run. I was afraid to look down. Just a short while I came to my house. I ran up the stairs, opened the door, went inside, and slammed it shut in back of me.
Anything wrong, sir?
You don't see a small black animal around, do you, Stanley?
Certainly not, sir.
Good, good. I must have lost him.
There's been nothing around here, sir.
I went into the study. This study. Sat in my favorite chair. For a few minutes, I was alone. But when I finally lifted my glance, there in the corner of the room, I saw the beast with the red eyes. It was entirely visible. Not only its eyes, but all of it. As if it was surrounded by red embers. Advanced towards me, quick, grinning and shaking, its paws clenched. And at the same time, there came the appearance of fire in the grate, and we never burn a fire in here. It towards me, and the shattering built up into a scream, and I was sure that it was mad.
You are listening to the tale of The Beast with Red Eyes on this week's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. We'll return to our story in just a moment.
Community activity.
featuring Carl Grayson and Richard Thorne, entitled The Beast with Red Eyes.
The tale that Robert Jennings told me sounded fantastic. And as he spoke, the dreadful sincerity of his words made me believe that he was telling the truth, telling me a tale so macabre and horrible that even I was frightened. Mr. Jennings, what happened then?
I'm afraid I lost consciousness, Doctor. Stanley, my servant, found me lying on the floor in here.
And the beast was gone?
Yes, it was gone. But it returns. And each time its presence grows more fearsome in aspect. And each time it comes closer to me.
This story you tell is fantastic.
Fantastic it may be, but it's true just the same. That little beast has driven me almost insane.
When does the creature appear?
At any time it so desires, Dr. Seas. Generally when I'm alone. And there are also times when it disappears for a while.
How long is it gone?
Anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks.
Tell me, Mr. Jennings, is it here in this room with us now?
No, not in here. I saw it in the hallway before we came in here, however.
Is it returned accompanied by any strange manifestation?
No, nothing. It's simply with me again. I'm lifting my eyes from a book or turning my head, I see it. Watching me.
Have you told anyone else about this?
No, no one.
It is just as well.
Its power of action is increasing, especially when I try to rest. It torments me while I lay in my bed at night. It drives me to do things. Last night, when I tried to hurt Mary, it was the beast who drove me to that. I heard it screaming, and its scream said, "Kill her, kill her!" And had you not been there, I'm afraid I would. And my niece, I almost killed her, too.
How?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd gone out for a walk. Our path happened to lie near a coal mine. At the verge of the wood, there's a perpendicular shaft. They say 150 feet deep. My niece and I came to the edge of the shaft.
You look so strangely, Uncle Robert.
It is nothing.
You act as if you see something down there. What is it?
Nothing, my dear. Nothing at all. Do you hear anything?
No.
It's so deep down there. Her scream brought me back to reality. I had been on the point of pushing her down there to certain death. It's always urging me to crimes, to injure others or myself.
You're very tired, Mr. Jennings. Perhaps you'd better rest.
I have no time to rest, Dr. Hesselius.
I see.
I want you to help me, Doctor. Look, I'm going out of my mind trying to fight it. Will you stay with me?
I have other patients, Mr. Jennings.
Yes, I realize that. I know that I'm asking you to forget them for a while, but I can't go on alone. I must have some help.
All right, Mr. Jennings. I can send your servant with a message to my office tomorrow.
Thank you, Doctor. I don't know what I'd have done if you'd refused me.
I shall stay here with you.
Perhaps I can get some rest now. Perhaps I can forget the terrible screaming of its voice.
We have been talking so long, Mr. Jennings, that the middle of the night has overtaken us. It is not good when we are talking of such matters. I suggest that we all retire for the night.
Yes, you're right, Doctor.
Where?
There! Over there!
You don't see anything?
I swear it's there just the same. Sight, I feel something is going to happen.
Don't worry, my friend. I shall be here in this house all night. Nothing will happen.
Too late, Doctor. Serious. I should have seen you long before this. For now, it's too late.
Get up, your servant. I put him to bed. He lay there moaning, and his eyes would fasten on some object in the room. I would follow his gaze, but I could see nothing. Little by little, he fell off to sleep. I sat by his side for an hour, and nothing occurred. The servant, Stanley, who had gone back downstairs, now returned.
Doctor, would you come downstairs for a moment?
What is the matter?
I can't explain it, sir, but I saw something downstairs.
Then, by our means, I shall go downstairs. What did you see?
I can't be sure. It seemed like a small animal.
Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, sir, first I heard some little noises. I looked up from what I was doing and saw a little animal in the corner of the room.
A little black thing with two burning eyes of fire.
Where did you see it?
It was in this room, sir. That's the sound, sir. That's the noise I heard.
It seems to come from the study. We better take a look.
Yes, Doctor.
Have you ever heard these noises before?
No, sir. This is the first time.
Hmm. Doesn't seem to be anything in this room.
I can't understand it, sir. The sound came from here.
Yes, I know. I heard it, too.
But that doesn't seem to be it. What's that?
The fool I've been.
This was just a trick to get us down here.
It sounded like Mr. Kenny.
It was. I could never have come down here. What did you say?
With red eyes, of course. I'll never forgive myself for this.
Mr. Kenny!
He may not be able to answer you, Stanley.
Why not?
Here's the room. You'll know if we're too late in just a moment.
He's still in bed, sir.
Yes. But he's dead.
What?
That's right.
His eyes, sir. Look at his eyes.
Why, what do you see?
His eyes. They're so red, sir. Like blazing coals of fire. They look just like the eyes of that animal I saw.
That is all I can tell you about it, sir. That is what happened. Jennings could have been insane. But I know that is not the case. This is why I told you about it. You see, since Jennings died, I too have seen the apparition become my constant companion. I am afraid that I shall be the next victim of the beast with red eyes.